Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Counterpart. Emily is not dead. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Big white cloud looking down on me, covering over me. I don't know how we can take it either angle, I guess, on this episode.
It was really cloudy.
Yeah.
These song choices really fit the feel and the theme of the show. It's very mellow, very, I don't know.
I feel like I'm kind of going to start kind of combining the title of the song, which is Birds of a Feather Flock Together, and
right.
then the songs that they intro in, which is Big White Cloud. We'll see once we get into the review how that mic can come together.
Well, thank you guys for joining us for episode 2 of Counterpart on Stars. Episode 2 is Birds of a Feather. I am your host, Ashley Allen, and joining me this week, I have my two lovely co-hosts.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, y'all. It's Portia Carter. I wasn't here last week, so new face, Counterpart.
Yay.
But I'm here again, so find me on all social media at Portia Carter.
And welcome back, all AfterBuzzers. I am Tequila. You can find me on all social media aspects at Tequila_IAM. Please be sure to tune in and join us on the chat. YouTube, AfterBuzz TV, the Sci-Fi channel. Come chat with us, please.
Yes, yes, yes. So let's jump right into this. It's a lot. Every episode is filled with so much meat.
It is.
It's so much of everything to decipher. So I know based on last week, we kind of had a discussion about the cinematography of the show and the opening.
Right.
And we noticed that there's the show pretty much opens up with this board game looking thing.
Right.
So I did a little research and the game is called Hex. Have you guys ever heard of that game or seen it before?
Mm-mm.
So pretty much what the game is literally what Counterpart is about. The game consists of two players. And what they're supposed to do is, it's a strategy game. So you're supposed to take your designated color and make a pattern from one side to the next. And whoever gets to that side without any interruption wins. But it's all about strategy, how you get your pieces.
So like chess or Connect Four or something
like
that. Yes,
pretty much, but a little bit more strategy because it's a bigger board. It requires more
players are involved, more pieces.
More thinking.
Uh-huh.
So which pretty much is basically what Counterpart is all about. It's all about strategy. What's the person's next move? And I think that really... I like how they tie that visual into what the show is actually about. Kind of brings everything together.
That's a great point because who was it? Aldridge was speaking to Howard Silk where he said that you don't think I can look at you and know what Prime's next move is. You don't think that I can look at you and know who Prime is.
Yeah.
And
I was so confused by that.
I wasn't too at first, but now that you say maybe that game is the reason that they keep showing in the beginning, it's the connection to it.
Yeah.
That's how maybe they're trying to put all the pieces together on what Prime's actual purpose is being in this one parallel world and why he's sent there to, I guess, recover or help see what Baldwin's assignment is. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
I like that theory. Yeah.
So I'm confused, like, because the scene with, you know, the Baldwin and Nadia, like, that really awakened something in me because it's like, especially finding out what they did, is like, did these people live in one body all their lives, all the way up until the explosion happened 30 years ago, and then they separated. Like, I don't understand how this is happening, how they share a past, because they keep saying this, that this is the past they share, and then, you know, Howard and Prime shared a past. So I'm just like, were they one at first, and then it separated two different worlds, or how did this work? Like, did they grow up the same on each world? Like, this is really confusing.
I think it makes it seem like that. It is confusing, but it makes it seem like that because if we go back to Nadia and Baldwin, Baldwin tells Nadia, you know, I was with you until 10. I was there when we did what happened to our father. So I feel like once this explosion did happen, it kind of separated the worlds, which made it, I guess, parallel. And then you do have the duplicate.
So that's how the killer side come out and the violinist come out.
Correct.
And we...
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I took it it was basically like a little duplicate.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they had this the same experiences, but when they separated, that's kind of when
everything
that
else
person
went
left or went right.
Correct.
So
it's almost like in one world you're living, it almost seems like in one world you're living kind of how you should be living, and then in the other world where Prime and Baldwin are living, it's kind of like they're almost doing what they want to do. Almost.
So it's like living your truth and then living how other people expect you to live.
That's kind of how I'm taking it to some extent, because I feel like there's certain things about Howard that Prime wants. Like there's certain things that he says or certain things about his life I'll see him like really looking like. So for example, in last week's episode, when Prime went to the hospital to see Emily, I don't know if you guys caught it, but he kind of like touched and caressed her hand. That was the first time we ever saw him be like soft.
Right.
Yeah.
And there was
his Emily, they like divorced.
Yeah. Or they're married, but they're not. Yeah. He told us she was dead. Yeah. So I think that had part of the play on him caressing Emily Silk was because he doesn't get to do that to his Emily in his world.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of seen maybe hopefulness.
He probably don't get to do that in his world. No.
Well, it doesn't seem like it.
He never came up in his world, so we don't know how it is. But both of them did say that Eric is an asshole. Like they both agree on that. So.
Yeah, but in this episode, we see Prime and his Emily, which we discover is not dead, and they're actually divorced. It seems like she has a hit out for Prime, and when they meet up in the bar, and she's trying to figure out what is he doing in the other world. Why are you over there? And pretty much,
so she did call that order to get those three men to get him.
But she was set up.
But she said she didn't do it.
She didn't. She was set up. So when she came in and she was speaking to her boss, his name was Bob, and he was wondering or questioning her on why she went through with the rendition, right? And she was like, "Well, what's going on? Why is personnel here too?"
Yeah,
she was set up. Someone set her up to go after her husband or go after Prime, and in the parallel world to see what he's doing and try to, I guess. I'm assuming it was somebody whoever Baldwin is working with, because we still don't know who contracted Baldwin.
Yeah.
But at the end, when she's in the cathedral talking to the Pope, he's like, "How's everything going too?" And that's where she says, "Well, someone has set me up, and I need to know what Prime is doing in the other world because she's attached to it, and they're trying to get her with him as well."
Yeah.
So
now that we've been introduced to the Pope this episode, and you know, we've seen him talk with Prime, we've seen him talk with her. My feelings is he knows way more than what he's portraying
to both of them.
I almost feel like he might be playing both of them. He's heavily mixed up in whatever is going on. Don't you guys think
I
so?
Feel like they're trying to start a riot
in
between the two worlds. I feel like they're trying to bring them together, get everybody to see each other, everybody face their real truth, and then they fight. Like, I feel like that's what's going on, and he's playing a big part in it because he tells her, like, you know, times are changing. And she's no, y'all need to tell me what's going on because we like peace.
Yeah.
You know, so at the end of the day, he's trying to disrupt some peace, and he's doing it with them too. And on the other side, like, they're really in love, even though, you know, Emily's in a coma, but, you know, like, their love force is there so strongly, like, because it's not one night that he's not going to that hospital. Mm-hmm. Not one night he's not going to be there with her. He's not going to let her go anywhere. And so his love for her is so strong. So you know, like, how powerful it would be if the Emily and Prime were together on the other end. Yeah. It would probably cause such a force to happen where everything, like, they're running things, you know, if they were together. But I think in order for Pope to be in his position and to stay there and to actually have control over everything, he has to have them two against each other.
Okay,
that might be something.
What else the Pope comes across too? Because Prime went to the Pope to sign his visa, and he was like, "Here you are. This time I'll sign it for 36 hours instead of just, I think it was 24 the last time."
Yeah.
But it goes back to your theory too. Like, what all does he have his hands in? So is he like the hierarchy of this other world that they're in? Is he, you know, who they go to get direction from, who they go to get guidance? So what is it, and what does he know about this explosion, what took place, why it took place, and how he'll be involved in it?
I almost feel like it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Because if we go kind of into real life, the Pope and the Catholic Church have a lot of power, and not just the church.
Correct.
So if we take that into the counterpart world, what do you know, this Pope has a lot of power, because why would they be going to him talking about all of this stuff? They're supposed to be going to him to get, you know, spiritual advice.
Right.
But here they are talking about, you know, agencies and hits and all that and, stuff like right. that. So he is definitely way more involved in this entire situation.
He probably don't like his other side. He probably don't like what his other side is doing. Just how, like, Prime doesn't like what Howard is doing. So he'd probably be like, nah, something got to change.
That's very possible. That's possible. So I want to talk about a little bit of this episode, and I think we're going to continue to see this relationship with Prime and Agent Aldrich. They have a very big power struggle throughout the entire episode.
I don't like Aldrich.
I don't like him either.
I don't like him.
I don't like him either. He's very bossy.
And he think he know everything. But it's like, even when he tried to boss, because first of all, you let Howard Silk hit you.
Right.
Like, yes. That
round
was,
of applause.
That
was, it was. I thought that was Prime sitting there.
Like, that was the one time, like, how y'all mentioned on the last episode when y'all spoke about how y'all couldn't tell the two apart because of their mannerisms. This was my thing where I couldn't, well, how y'all could tell them apart, but this was my thing about how I couldn't. Because when he was sitting down there and he got up and hit him, I thought that was Prime sitting there because Prime was the one who had just spent, you know, time with Nadia, who had just built a relationship with her, who got to know her. So I'm thinking he's taking those emotions of getting to know her and, you know, pretending he had a daughter and then hit him and all this stuff happened. The next thing you know, you see Prime walk up and then start cussing him out. And I'm just like, what's going on?
That was
when I was really confused, like, oh, these are the same people. Like, even though, like, they don't know, like, Howard got something deep down inside of him that's an inside Prime. And then Aldrich gets shut down. On top of him getting shut down, he let Prime have his way.
True. Like, well, that's stupid. Because he's slowly coming into himself and the part of Prime that is in him. He hasn't really truly and fully discovered that yet.
Right.
But I did, like you said, I loved seeing him stand up for himself, even to Prime. At the end of the episode, we saw him stand up to Prime
and leave
and go see his wife. Like, I don't have time for this, you know?
I think that only comes out when Prime is around, too. It's like they're spirits, the magneticism between them actually being one but not. It comes out more when he is around Prime. He gets a lot more courageous and a lot more bold and confident in himself. Even when they met in the hotel or the room that they went into, and Prime asked Silk, he's like, oh, so after 30 years you get a job promotion? He was like, as an analyst. And he still wasn't aware of really what that job entailed, and he didn't still seem as confident in his abilities in that job, but he wasn't even like excited about it. It was just like his mundane life, this next thing, the next thing, and the next thing that'll come through. But I think his boldness, which I love, comes out when Prime is around, or he gets a little bit more feel of how Prime operates, and he gets to see himself in Prime being that person.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, Prime is the one person who kind of pushes him, and I truly believe that Prime is doing that on purpose, because I think he likes Howard, and it's like, dude, stand up for yourself. Like, are you gonna let me and everyone else run over you? Or like, you should, in all this situation, you should learn something.
Yes.
And I'm glad that Howard is slowly but surely learning, like, you need to stand up for yourself and don't even let me run over you.
And I think it happens in the reverse too, because Prime sees how compassionate and how caring and how just empathetic that Silk is. And so I feel like that's part of also, he was like, I can't do this towards the end of the episode. He's like, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. Will you help me? And Silk, I think, kind of was still thinking about it, because he doesn't, again, know the totality of what the heck is going on. But you see how they're going to need each other to be one, essentially, to fight.
The fact that Prime has rank enough to get Howard a promotion is just beyond me. Like, I wonder what my other side can get.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So I think Prime is definitely, like you said, he's learning from Howard, too, as we see in his dealings with Nadia at the bar. He's learning how to be soft, how to talk to her, how to be vulnerable. And
while he's lying, though. He's pretending to be somebody else.
He's so good at it.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably used to it.
Did it not suck you in? Did you not feel like, oh, this is genuine?
Yeah. I'm like, dang, he apologized for everybody, daddy, my daddy too. Like, like, dang, I forgive all y'all.
Right? It sucked you in so good.
I was just like, oh, you were a deadbeat father. You had a daughter who played an instrument, who don't like you no more.
You say, oh, thanks. For like, too. Right.
Yeah. Like, he, and then he took her through a whole world of reminiscing and how she, you know, basically killed her father.
Yeah.
Or watched him die, you know?
Right.
It's just like, this is eye-opening.
It is eye-opening.
What I was confused about during that conversation, though, is, well, when he was like, so I actually have been lying, I need to tell you the truth, or whatever his exact words were at that time.
Why
I thought
he
was
going to
tell.
Him.
Yes, I thought he was going to tell her about Nadia or kind of explain the parallel worlds and what is going on, but he didn't, which kind of annoyed me because I feel like she needed to know.
Okay.
I thought,
but
I guess
we'll
get into that.
She found out in the best way possible, I guess.
Yes, she did. But then she still didn't believe it. She was like, oh, my mind is playing tricks on me. I'm going crazy. Even though she did say, I see my true self.
All of that was a lot for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a lot for me because I'm just like, this is the story of my life.
Right.
Like, I have so many different things in my head, like, and it's so many different me's,
yeah,
but all of them come together as one.
Right.
So
exactly.
What if we had a world like Counterpart where all of a sudden an explosion happened and then we have another side and another person? Like, who would she be? Why would she do what she do? And what in our past happened to us that made her that way?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because right, maybe I'm living the fake life. Maybe I'm suppressing the pain,
mm-hmm,
and I don't, you know, want to act as a killer, even though I know it's probably inside of me. Like, you know, like
right,
that whole thing, like her looking at her reflection and seeing what she could have been and then noticing that she's not that now and how confusing it was for her. I'm just like,
but at the same time,
it is.
But at the same time, a little bit of that is still in her.
Yeah.
Because even at the bar, when her and Prime were having the conversation, her exact words were, we can't escape who we are.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much the theme of this show. Even though they have two pretty much different paths in life right now, they're still the same. They're still similar. Even when we saw they both take off the shoes thing or
yeah,
the finger tap, there's still certain mannerisms, certain things, certain ways that they move and they think that are still the same, even though they've went two different paths in life.
Yeah.
But I also think I like your theory. Sometimes I just as a human being, you just sit and you think, you know, the portrayal that you think you are on your outside because you're internal, mm-hmm, how people see you on the external. So
true.
Now I don't want to live
in
Counterpart.
I've been going through that all like for the past 2 weeks.
But it would be really cool, or not even say cool, but therapeutic would probably be the better word, to see yourself outside of yourself.
Yeah. To just be self-aware of
mm-hmm,
your
exactly,
thoughts, your actions, how you make people feel, mm-hmm, how you go about your day, the choices you make.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's like you have to be with the mirror mm-hmm, every day.
Exactly.
And it's crazy because I'm living a life right now.
Yeah.
Where I really got to try to see myself the way I perceive my life to be in my greater vision.
Yeah.
You know?
I think really that's that having in that mindset that keeps us sane. You know, like we have
really?
To. Yeah.
I
we
feel like I'd be going crazy.
Really?
Yeah. What? Because my mind be on 10. Like my brain be running.
So you're yes.
Well, you can't overthink though.
I do that a lot though.
Sometimes you just have to experience stuff and just accept.
That's why I feel like this show.
Exactly.
You know, I can pretend I can talk to my other side.
You can. Okay. We'll have to put a double in the middle so that you can see.
Yeah.
So
just let it out.
Get
so
the
my
show
brain out of
and your therapy session, and we're all good.
Right.
And you don't have to feel sane. I mean, crazy anymore.
So okay, so I'm going to ask you if you guys did see yourself in another form or in another world, what would be something that you would tell yourself?
Hmm.
Like, like a piece of advice?
You know?
I would. I have to, you know, like, Insecure. Sorry, I went blank for a second. And how Issa Rae talks to herself as motivation
yeah,
in a mirror and talks. I'm not going to lie. I do that. Like, when I'm going, like, for an interview or I'm going for something that I need to see myself, be kind to myself, I do that because either one, I see how crazy I really look. Or number two, I just laugh at myself because it's like, okay, this is good, but this isn't. Mm-hmm. And then it gives me opportunity to just be, like, let my guard down. All that anxiety that's inside and it's probably going to make me, like, stutter or be late or just, who knows, whatever, you know, anxiety can produce in different people.
Yeah.
It helps me to just center myself. So if I could see myself in a counter world or a parallel world, I would tell her, I wouldn't have waited so long to take risk in life. That where I kind of feel like you say you kind of just drive yourself that balance, like, mm-hmm. oh my God, this could happen, this could happen, oh my God, this could, but you never know. You don't know until you take that first step. So I would tell myself at like a younger age to go ahead and take risks more often. That's okay, what I would
that's
do.
A good one. I like that.
For me, it depends on who she is. Like when I meet this other person in the world, it depends on who she is and what she's doing to what I would say to her, because I feel like with us being one at first and then going separate ways, it has to be something that we experience to make her who she is at that point.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And depending on how, whoever she is and what she's doing, then I would be able to have words for her. Okay. But in my imaginary world, I say,
right,
she Beyonce.
Oh.
And I would literally say, girl, you doing your thing, teach me. Teach me how to be more bold and more vibrant and just... taking over the world, teaching me how to take over. That's what I would ask her to teach me how to do what she's doing, because I picture my real self as being Beyonce.
Mine is along the same lines. I would tell myself to not always be so cautious. Like it's okay to be cautious and be observant, but just pretty much just live in your experience more.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can be in your head and overthink things where you have a great experience in front of you and you're not even really living
in it. You're not there
and soaking
because,
it up because your mind is like going crazy. Right. So that's what I would tell myself. Live in the moment, guys.
Live in the moment.
Live in the moment.
That just spoke to my spirit because, when I tell y'all this show and watching this and then this conversation we're having, I've literally, for the last 2 weeks, I've been going through this. So crazy. Like, it's aligned.
Well, we're going to be your counterparts. So we're going to help you deal it all out. That works.
We'll do it together.
Yes.
Okay. So let's get into Baldwin. So Prime and Howard are at the concert hall and they're there to study Nadia because they say, when Baldwin is going through something, when she's stressed, she acts more like her true self, which is Nadia. Mm-hmm. So fast forward,
we see
Baldwin in her childhood home. So now she's there after she's been shot. She's there stitching up her face and in walks what I think, and you guys let me know, wasn't that Nurse Claire?
That's what I was looking at, too. I had to go back. I didn't
write
her name back
last week. We would probably have to pull up
the pictures.
I'm 99% sure
that's
that was
crazy because it's like, which Nurse Claire are you? Are you the one that's supposed to be in that
right.
world?
Yeah.
Or are you from the counterfeit
now,
world?
Now, I think she is the duplicate because how would she know...
Because they're the bad people, right?
Yeah,
right.
How would she know Baldwin? How would she know anything about the mission and that they're using her to kill you? So that means
it's probably her other eye.
She's been in the original world for a while, and that explains how Baldwin knew to look for the flower when she went to the hospital.
Wow.
I thought it said
it's
was Nadia. Nadia.
Oh,
no, the nurse.
Claire.
Yeah,
Claire.
Okay. Claire.
Wow. That. So that explains how she knew to look for the flower and why she stopped right there at the nurse's station because they were in on it.
Yes. Yeah. It's crazy because before he was doing that, when he was in the car, I was so happy when he got out the car to go get the flowers. But when he came back in, I'm like, no, please, 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 please hand him one. Just hand him one. Because you can't look away for this show. Like, you got to look
right.
up.
Yes.
So I was literally, what was I doing? I think I was eating. I looked down and I heard him say, give him one. And so I looked back up. I'm like, okay, he gave him the flower. But then come to find out he was saying, give him a mic. So he ended up giving a homeboy a mic and not the flower. Mm-hmm. And so when I see them walk past the flower station, I'm like, dang, that wasn't it.
Yeah.
Like, you can't look away or you gonna miss something.
That's very true.
And when he said give him one, I'm thinking like that was a flower he gave him, but he didn't. And then she noticed it wasn't there. That makes so much sense for her to be on the other world and come ahead of her before the mission, get everything together and aligned, and let her know how it's supposed to be. That's so crazy.
And
so,
it makes me believe that more people are there just as spies or as, I don't know, peacemakers or just informants.
Yeah, we don't know. Prime wants still to be a spy.
Exactly.
Yeah, we don't know who is from the original world and who's not at this point.
Everybody playing the game.
So if she's been there for a while and it seems like she is almost giving Baldwin information because Baldwin is there on contract, who do you guys think that Nurse Claire is working for?
Have to be the same people, right?
I think she's still on Prime's side of the world, but we don't know who the contractor is. So I'm thinking it's somebody on that side. I don't think she's on the side with Quail and Silk. I don't think she's on that side of the world.
She's on the side with
where the Pope is being corrupt.
Correct. Yeah. And it makes me feel like they're over... If it's, again, the hierarchy of it all, it's somebody like the Pope or someone just slightly underneath the Pope who is the contractor mm-hmm. and giving orders to Baldwin and now to Nurse as well as to what to do, who to find,
and where to go. They are agents. They all on the same team.
Yes.
The thing is, their agency is trying to take out the other side of Emily. So I'm not understanding that. Because if they're all a part of one agency to where the Pope and Emily and the nurse and Baldwin all work together on that side, why would they be trying to take out this side's Emily? You know, like...
Well, in the first episode, Prime said to get back at him. They're trying to take out the other side.
Stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't know what that may or may not be. And it keeps coming up, too, because you go back to Aldrich, who doesn't believe him, and Quail as well. They're like, I don't know his intentions. I don't know what his real purpose is. So mm-hmm. they're trying to keep guards on him. They're trying to keep eyes on him at all times.
But why
did
they let him in?
But that's a good question.
If they don't trust this man, if they don't understand what's going on, why they let him in?
Because I think he's coming to them with information saying this person is about to get killed. So I would think that they're going to look into it to protect one of their own.
I mean, but they got a powerful force. They got the fourth floor.
That's what
they could just let the fourth floor in on what's going on and why Prime keep making them stop to tell the fourth floor is
some reason why they don't want to go to the fourth floor first. It almost seems like they're trying to do whatever they can first without having to take that route.
True. Right.
There's some reason why they don't want to go that route first.
I want to know what that route is about.
It's only episode 2, so I'm sure they're going to drag it on just a couple more episodes before we'll get to figure out. I feel like they're kind of
going... Because the fourth floor is probably where the scientific explosion happened.
Or they know why or can create another one or something of that nature. Because I feel like if they feel like they're coming to take over their world, they're going to create another instance or explosion, some type of world change to where they can kind of wipe the slate clean and start all over again. So
that's
crazy. And I also wonder, too, is the fact that... I think we're going to get, each episode is going to kind of delve into each character a little more.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're probably going to save Prime for, last season finale type thing.
This week we learned a lot more about Baldwin.
Yes.
Which I really
like.
And
Emily. Unscathed the, cover of Emily and her other side of the world and what happened
to Emily on the other side.
She a beast.
She got her a black man.
Yeah.
Shaw. Yeah.
She got her a black man.
And she's
living life.
But I want to know the story behind that, too, and what really happened between Prime and Emily in that life to figure out more. And where did Shaw
come from? I thought until they mentioned that they were, that was her ex-husband, I thought she was cheating on him or something, or they may be separated, or he don't know, but they sit in here having a whole full-blown conversation about Prime, her and her man.
Her and Prime almost seem too much alike to be together. I don't feel like she would even, a part of me feels like she doesn't even respect Prime as far as being her man. Mm-hmm. I think she respects him as the agent that he is.
That's true.
But I wonder, like you said, why? What happened there?
I hope we get to see more of that. Yeah. And you said, I was confused at first, too, because they opened the scene with Emily Prime and Shaw is his name.
Yeah.
And they were having sex. And I thought it was her boss at first. I was like, she's working with... Until they kind of recovered who he was. And I was like,
I knew that was a black man.
Okay. Yeah. Even through the shadows of the show and the dark images, I knew. Got it.
The shape of the body.
Uh-huh. You
know? I knew. But I wonder who the real side, I'm calling it the real side. The original, I wonder what Emily was like there. Like, I want them to get into how that happened, because if they're a powerful force together, there's some reason why Howard is now walking dead, he's now just sleepwalking and he's on the flat line.
And I think that would explain why they would look to kill Emily when she's already down, why why her?
Why can't she wake up?
Yeah.
What truth?
And then what's the story behind who hit her? Like I said,
they probably did that on purpose. Yeah. They probably set it up. They thought she was dead and she not.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's definitely a cleanup situation that is they're trying to do. But I can't wait to see next episode more information about Baldwin. We're learning a little. I think she's the one character that I'm really, really interested to see more of her story. She definitely is a troubled soul. I feel bad for the child this whole episode. She, especially like I said, when she was able to look herself, her true self, Nadia, in the face. And when she saw that she was cutting herself, like you really got to see, we got to see a softer side of her.
Right. And I didn't think it was going to be that easy. She tried to tell the nurse, like, I got it. I can handle it. Like, I can kill me, essentially. Right. I can do that. But I didn't believe her when she said that. I didn't think it was going to be that easy. She was going to go there and have some type of memory that was going to come back up and halt her. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen her compassion, too, and just a piece of her that died when she seen Nadia on the floor and the gunshot wound started mm-hmm. bleeding even heavily out of her. And she didn't fight. The first time we didn't see her fight at all since the series started.
Yeah, and I felt like at that moment, because they had just had an encounter where they realized and they are each other, and she's, you know, feeling, you know, deeply for her in her heart because she's cutting herself and she's going through these things when she literally, like, you could be out here an assassin like me. Right. You ain't got to be doing this. You could be taking people out because that's what you really want to do. Yeah. You know? But in that moment when she see her, you know, basically dying, she's like, well, shoot, my real self is gone. I ain't got nothing else to live mm-hmm. for. Like, here I am. And I thought that's why she surrendered. Like, I ain't got nothing else to live for. Take me.
It's almost becoming a common theme so far that when the counterpart, the other side, sees their true self, they almost become a little bit more human, a little more softer. We've seen that with crime.
It's a weakness. Right.
Yes. And so I'm really interested to see how that's going to affect them long term because they really haven't had close interaction with their other self until now. So mm-hmm. I want to see how that's going to affect the other side as they have more interaction with their original self.
And then mm-hmm. I also want to see, too, because I thought, like you did first, Portia, that she was just surrendering. She was just the motions, just the moment she was when she seen Nadia there lying on the floor, that, okay, there is no more fighting her at this moment, this point. But then Prime says, you know, you just let a contracted killer get arrested by the police. This is the worst thing that could happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, okay, well, what's her next move? Was it purposeful or was it just that she just didn't have the fight in her at that time? She needed to, I guess, mourn her sister or mourn herself. Not her sister, her other half or herself. But I'm excited to see within the next few episodes what her plan is when she's arrested.
Yeah, because there's no trace of her in that world.
No.
Exactly.
Like, they don't know who she is and why she is.
Not at all.
Like, you know, and because she's not Nadia, because Nadia's dead. So now they got to figure out who this person is. And that's probably why they said it's the worst thing that can happen, because now other people are going to know, like, oh, we got clones out here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, you know.
And then also, too, I thought initially that the, I don't know, what are we going to call them? The other halves, the other me, were foreshadowing life.
Yeah.
For one another. Mm-hmm. So since Nadia is dead, or we're perceived to believe that she is dead, does that mean Baldwin's time is coming to an end? And does she know that too? And so now is she going to be fearful of it? Is she going to be...
I mean, if she surrendered, she knew that was a death sentence at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like,
she definitely surrendered.
She knew that was a death sentence. Just like I said, she ain't got nothing to live for. So either the police are about to, you know, take her out because they don't know who she is and why she is and the person that they have. Like, and then the fact that Nadia is famous. Like,
right.
She's a famous violinist. Mm-hmm. Like, she has posters. Like, people know her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So for her to die and then this person get arrested and it's her identical, they're either going to think that she had a twin that was separated at birth or we out here getting cloned and we don't know what's going on.
Maybe that's what's going to be the leak to what's going on.
And so if the police don't handle, you know, Baldwin and take her permanently, her contractor going to kill her because why did you give yourself
up? Right.
Okay.
You just put us all in jeopardy. Now everybody know we got doubles.
Right.
Oh, no.
And one more anecdote is, too, is that this is the second time that Silk has come face-to-face with Baldwin, mm-hmm. and she didn't kill him. She didn't come after him. Because
she know it's not him. Well, and then, you know, the nurse let her know, like, Howard Silk been cloned.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, his double is here. So, I mean, she already know, like, and she knew that it wasn't him because he would have shot her. He would have had a gun in his hand, but he was just sitting there like, and then he was trying to save Nadia too.
Right. Yeah,
and she saw that whole thing play out, you know?
Yeah. And she had just went through, like we just said, her emotional interaction with herself. So she's pretty much seemed emotionally drained at this point.
Yeah.
Could you tell, I couldn't see clearly, but who was in the like shadow of the curtains telling Silk, come on, we got to go down? Was that Prime or was that Quail?
I'm not sure who that was.
Okay, because I was also wondering if that was like
Aldrich or somebody.
Or okay, probably. Even as okay,
he's
so everywhere. It wasn't Prime though.
He's
definitely
everywhere.
Okay,
like, we gotta go now.
Yeah. So I thought it might have been Prime too, and then I was going to be confused as to why like their interaction between Prime and Baldwin, even in the midst of what's going on, it wasn't no like eye contact. It wasn't no I'm coming for you later type of play out between the two. But if it wasn't Prime, then that works. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, all right, guys. So what do you say we get into some predictions for next week?
Predictions.
These lights.
Make one be a disco.
Oh. All right. Portia, start us off.
Dang, me first. let's see. It's so steep. I don't know.
Right.
But I really believe that, you know, soon Emily is going to wake up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I believe the real Emily is going to wake up, and she's probably going to see both Howard and Prime one day and wonder what's going on. I don't think Prime is going to make it back to his world in time.
Okay.
I definitely don't think that's going to happen because he already spent 24 hours there.
Right.
You know, so he got to wrap it up, and I don't think he's going to make it. Yeah, that's all I got, because this is a lot.
It is. It's hard to do predictions on this show because
like,
it's so many intricate pieces.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, I was real emotional about this whole Baldwin and Nadia situation.
Yeah.
Like, it threw me in for a loop. I thought she was going to, you know, kidnap her and be out. And, they go live their life together. You know, like, it's us against the world, but baby girl died.
Yeah. She's gone. Rest in
like,
peace.
That's sad.
Well, for me, I actually kind of want to counter a little bit of Portia. I think Prime is going to make it back. I kind of don't think he has any other choice but to, because it'll create a more... it's too early to me in the series and in the season to have the sides know what's actually going on. Like, more people know what's going on. So I think he's going to make it back. And I think that's what him and his Emily are going to have a conversation about what is really going on. And I think he's going to tell her because now she knows she's being set up, but she doesn't know what for. So she needs more information.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fact that he knows she's being set up too is going to help them come together a little more. And the next time they get their visas from the Pope, it's going to be the both of them that's going to transition over to the other world. And she's going to see herself, to which I think is going to come to the other Emily waking up or memory start functioning or memory activity in her brain, period. Yeah. I really hope, like you said, you're affected too. I feel like it was too soon for Nadia or Baldwin's other to die. I really hope she's not dead yet. I hope maybe she's going to be on life support like Emily for a minute, which is going to kind of be the bridge between Nadia trying to still be the assassin because she is a contractor and she has to do whatever job she's contracted
out of jail
to do.
So she can go check on herself.
Exactly. And then also trying to save Nadia, which in essence is going to be trying
to
save herself.
Because she's famous.
Exactly. So I kind of think I'm hoping Nadia's not dead. I'm hoping that wasn't the end of her story already and in connection to Baldwin. And that's all I have for right now as far as lines.
I think that Prime is going to make it back this time around. But at some point in time, I think Prime and Howard are going to switch places.
Ooh.
And that's where Howard is going to come into play when Prime is saying, I need you as a spy. And I think he's going to use Howard as a spy in his world. They're going to learn each other. And
he's going to have to teach Silk how to fight, how to shoot, all that.
Well, he probably already instinctively has it in him. He just hasn't had to practice to bring it out. So it's in there. And I think they're going to switch worlds at some point in time. I hope that Nadia is not dead.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting. My eye is on the Pope. I'm giving him a strong side eye right now. He knows a lot of information, and I kind of feel like he might be behind a lot of this, because when they were talking about the separation of the different worlds and peace, him and Emily at the end of the episode, he seemed very bitter. Yeah. And he knows a lot. And I'm not going to necessarily say this is a prediction, but I hope that the two Emilys see each other. And like you said, it helps the original Emily come out of her coma. Her character is going to be very necessary. There's a reason why they're keeping her down for whatever reason right now. We'll figure it out later. Yes. But how are you guys liking the show so far? It's a brand new show on Stars.
So far, it's really good. It's intense.
It's a movie.
I love it.
It's like a movie broken. Like, you know how, like, you watch a movie in the movie theater or something, and you just want to keep watching and continue it? This is my answer to that.
This is my answer to that.
A continuation of a movie, and I'm just... Like, you'd be like this, like...
And, you know, and then the only time you get to breathe a little bit comes from a little dry humor from Prime. From I can laugh, and I'm like, okay, and I can laugh and get it out, and then I got to be back on Stern and watching the TV and, like, not missing or blinking at anything. But I'm loving the show. Yeah. Good job,
I like how it makes you think.
Yes. Yeah.
It's really brain activating. Mm-hmm. And I guess it goes along with the game. Thank you for that research.
Yes, that was good.
Because it makes me want to play something like that to get my brain going so I can have some strategic thinking going on, because this is steep.
Okay.
Like,
you gotta have
it teach you how to think too, because I guess it's because I don't know about the two life world, but I would have never suggested that, okay, let's study Nadia to find Baldwin.
Like, right.
I would have never thought of that. Because I'm not used to the double life. So for them to be like, okay, let's find her double. Because then we gonna know, like, how to get her. Like, that was so strategic. And then the nurse coming to let her know, like, you know they gonna go out for Nadia looking for you. Mm-hmm. Like, so everybody know there's a strategy to how to get to the other if you need them.
Yep.
And it was like, I would have never thought of that.
Well, I mean, to wrap it up, that just brings us back to the quote of the episode, I feel like, and the quote of the show. We can't escape who we are. You are who you are, no matter what your life experiences are. You are who you are.
Ladies? You are. Yes, ma'am.
All right. I hope you guys enjoyed our conclusion of episode 2 of Counterparts. My name is Ashley Allen. You can find me on all social media at Ashley Reed Allen. Make sure you like, subscribe, comment on YouTube, iTunes, all of that. We do watch, we do read all of your comments, and we would love to interact with you guys.
Yeah, so continue to talk to us. Thank you all so much for watching. I am Portia Carter. You can find me this week, Wednesday at 6 p.m. on the Black Lightning After Show.
Hey.
And you can find me on all social media at Portia Carter.
And once again, I am Taquayla. You can find me on all social media at Taquayla_IAM. And we look forward to seeing you next Sunday.
We will see you guys next week. Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.